Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 26th. We're going to talk about a recreational activity that many of us participate in, bicycling. Some of you use a bike as one of your primary sources of transportation. It's fun, it's good exercise, it's good for the environment, but it can be dangerous too. There are a lot of crashes every year between bikes and cars. And as you might suspect, it's the bicyclist who takes the brunt of that crash. There were 1,100 or so car-bike crashes in Wisconsin last year. So far this year, there have been 4 fatalities. We will talk this hour how bikes and cars can more safely share the road. And wonder, are you a bicyclist who has a gripe about motorists who don't respect your right to the road? Or maybe you're a motorist who wants to point out a dangerous thing you've observed from a bicyclist. Do you have a question about the rules of the road regarding cars and bikes? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890, or send your question or comment via email talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Larry Corsi. He is Bicycle Safety Program Manager for the State Patrol Bureau of Transportation Safety at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Not a problem.
Well, we did this in part because my producer, Leo Duran, noticed a couple of stories in the news recently about car bike crashes, and he's a bicyclist who dodges cars all the time in Madison, and he thought, hey, why don't we do one of these? We last talked to you, I think, about pedestrian safety. Yeah.
Correct, yep.
Bicyclists also face some dangers on the road, too, don't they? How bad of a problem are bicycle crashes with cars?
There are, as you mentioned, just under 1,100 bicycle crashes last year, which claimed 8 fatalities. It's a very serious problem, and it's more or less that we need to learn to share the road, both motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians, and each follow the rules of what we're supposed to be doing, and some motorists don't respect bicyclists, so it creates a little bit more of a problem for the bicyclists.
Yeah. So what is the what's maybe the most common reason that there are these car bike crashes?
Well, I think a lot of it is, you know, today everybody's in a hurry to get someplace, and whatever takes them a little bit longer, they're not happy about. So motorists tend to not slow down for bicyclists or not be as attentive as they should be when riding. One of the big crashes for bicyclists is motorists that are turning left and are looking for vehicles coming but not bicyclists. So when they're turning, they don't see the bicyclists coming. They're looking for more of a motor vehicle coming at them. So that turns into being a big problem. And just in a hurry to get someplace. If they want to turn right, they speed ahead of the bicyclist and take a right rather than waiting the extra 3 seconds for the bicyclist to get past the intersection and then make their right. And I think a lot of them aren't aware that a bicycle is actually a vehicle and by law follows the same rules and regulations as a motor vehicle.
And as a vehicle, for instance, here's a question for you. I was on University Avenue in Madison about a week ago, and a bicyclist wanted to get over to the left to make a left-hand turn.
Mm-hmm.
But for quite a while on University was right in front of me. I certainly didn't plow her over, but should that bicyclist be in the left lane of traffic for quite some time then when they want to make a left-hand turn?
Well, it depends on the traffic that's actually there. If it's going to take them a while to get over, then they need to move over slowly. But a bicyclist needs to move the same way as a vehicle does. They need to do a hand signal. check over their shoulder to make sure everything's okay, and then slowly move over to where they need to be. And if they're turning left, they need to be in the left turn lane.
Yeah. Well, so most of the time you say that it often might be the motorist who turns left in front of a bicyclist, or the motorist who turns right when a bicyclist is also traveling. Are there any common mistakes that the bicyclist makes leads to crash?
Yeah, the bicyclist will pull out from stop signs or not stop at a stop sign, which, you know, by law being a termed a vehicle, need to also follow those same stop signs and yield signs. And yield the right of way to motorists. Children, some of the biggest problem we see with bicycle crashes with children are 90% the children's fault, the child's fault, either darting out from a driveway, not being able to see a vehicle, or if they see a vehicle, they think the motorist, the driver can see them and will, you know, yield to them, or swerving rather than riding pretty much a straight line, they'll be swerving in and out of cars, or riding on the wrong side of the road.
We're talking about bicycle safety this hour and how bikes and motorists can share the road. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you like to ride your bicycle? Do you have some concerns about motorists? You want to share them? Or maybe you're a motorist who sees behavior from bicyclists that is dangerous. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, July the 26th. This afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6, and after 5, Ben and his guest will discuss energy conservation, efficiency, and clean energy solutions. That's after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about a popular summertime activity, bicycling. And wondering how we can make this a little bit safer for all involved. Wondering if you have any questions about bicycle safety, about car bicycle safety. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk at WPR.org. Wondering how we can continue to reduce the number of bicycle car crashes in the state of Wisconsin, about 1,100 of them last year. 4 fatalities so far this year. Talking with Larry Corsi, Pedestrian Bicycle Safety Program Manager for the State Patrol Bureau of Transportation Safety at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. He'll answer your questions about car bicycle safety and the rules of the road. We did get a call from Karen Endowsman, who wonders, Larry Corsi, about bikers who are riding 2 or 3 abreast on country roads. That's what she sees a lot.
And that is a problem with a lot of motorists. Although the bicyclist, as we stated, is a vehicle and has the right of way, but one of the things that they need to look at is that they're not impeding traffic. So, you know, common courtesy in sharing the road tells you that if you're riding 2 abreast and talking on a country road, and there is a vehicle behind you that needs to get by, you know, move over and go single file and give that vehicle an opportunity to get past you safely. And when that vehicle goes past, we need to make sure the motorists are going out at least 3 feet, you know, past the bicyclist to avoid any potential for a crash there.
Yeah. Here's another one that I experienced not too long ago in a car. Taking a right-hand turn at a stoplight, but a bicyclist was on the sidewalk. And is that bicyclist, and I believe that the bicyclist might have had a walk signal, but I guess I wasn't, I didn't hit the person, but it was kind of a startle.
In the city of Madison, and depending on each community sets their own regulation as far as riding on the sidewalk. In the city of Madison, you can ride a bicycle on the sidewalk, and once the bicycle is stopped at a crosswalk, they can use the crosswalk as similar as a pedestrian. So if they have a walk signal, the bicyclist does have an opportunity to go across at the crosswalk there.
Mm-hmm. And riding the bike, you don't have to be walking the bike.
They can ride the bike across, mm-hmm. Yes, if they've stopped. I guess one of the problems and issues is that when people are coming down the road and decide to swerve over and ride rather than wait for a stop sign or a light to swerve over into a walk signal on the other road, on the road going across, and use it, which I guess is, you know, you got to, again, share the road. And the education has to be for both motorists and bicyclists. You know, everybody needs to be on the same page and work together. And I know there's a lot of bicyclists complaining about motorists and motorists complaining about bicyclists. But, you know, they need to work together, and the bicyclists as well as the motorists need to follow the laws and rules.
Yeah. If there is a stop sign on a bike trail or a bike pedestrian trail, like, for example, on Midvale Boulevard, a biker or a pedestrian will stop there and cars are zooming down Midvale, what's supposed to happen there? Are we supposed to, as motorists, yield for the pedestrian in that cross, or does the biker and pedestrian have to wait for the motorists?
That's a very good question, and that's been an issue that's been discussed quite a bit. The bicyclist has a stop sign as well as the pedestrian. The pedestrian, by law, the vehicle has to yield the right of way to the pedestrian once they step out there. Although, as you said, you know, that's the traffic moves pretty quickly there, and it's kind of in a little low area. It's kind of a bad spot. So most of your bicyclists and pedestrians wait for vehicles, you know, so there's a clearing to get across. And some will step out and get vehicles to stop, but a lot of them just don't trust vehicles to stop nowadays when they cross at those particular sites.
Okay, now we're piling up the phone calls. Let me go to the phone. Scott in Wapaka. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
I wanted to say that my primary means of transportation is a bicycle, and I follow all the traffic laws. I do the hand signals and everything, but I notice that motorists just don't seem to pay attention to them. Even though I know that everyone in driver's ed, way back when for some people, are taught hand signals in case their own directionals go out. And I think it is a two-way thing, though, because, like your guest was saying, both bikers and motorists need to be educated on these things, because I think a lot of bikers don't realize they're a vehicle.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Scott, you would be perhaps taking a left-hand turn and make that signal and maybe move in front of a car, and then you just get honked at.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they don't know what I'm doing. They don't understand that my arm sticking out means I'm turning.
Yeah. Do you think that's a problem, Larry Corsi?
That's a very, very big point. And we're in the process right now, Scott, and have been doing in the last 6 months or so, is we've put together a pedestrian video with the Madison Police Department, and also I've gotten a video from Chicago bicycle facilities down there that put together a bicycle video. And we're getting those out to our driver's ed instructors just to help instruct new drivers on what actually is expected. And in the bicycle video, it does show the hand signals and explain to the new drivers that this is what has to be done. Along with that, there's a short 10-question quiz, but it explains to them what to expect from a bicyclist and what they should be looking for and be alert as of a bicyclist standpoint, end of it there. But that has been a problem, and it's something we're working to educate bicyclists on. One of the biggest problems that we have now are your veteran drivers that have been around a long time. You get your license at the age of 16, and what training do you get between then and, you know, when you're 70 or 80 years old? There just isn't really a good opportunity to train them.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Scott, for pointing that out. Joshua in Eau Claire is with us next. Hi, Joshua.
Hello. Good morning to you folks. Good
morning.
I have a comment and then a question to propose. Every day we go about this dance, which is an ecological one, and I own a car and a bicycle, but I choose to ride my bicycle. And every day I'm stopped and hassled, about every day, about from some driver or some pedestrian just walking. And usually the situation occurs on a road where you can't bike on the sidewalk. So you have to bike on the road, and people will drive by and, you know, deliberately flick you off, give you the middle finger, and you're already dealing with exhaust spewing at your face or puddles of water coming at your legs when you're just trying to do something good for humanity by not driving a car. And one of the questions I want to propose, is there speed limits for bicycles? And then also, how much space do you have from the side of the sidewalk if you're on the road to be able to bike? What is the given space that you're allowed when you're not allowed to ride on the sidewalk. And other than that, I wish you folks a good day, and may you be nourished.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Joshua.
In answer to your first question, the bicyclist, again, is a motor vehicle, is similar to a motor vehicle, so they have the same speed limit readings as a vehicle does. And in your second question, as far as how close to the right side of the road does a bicycle need to travel, basically the state law says that it has to be within a practicable distance to the right-hand edge, which practicable, looking at being a bicyclist, you don't, a lot of the things that are rocks or whatever that are in the road move to the right-hand side. There may be potholes there, so you can move out as far as you need to move out from the right-hand side to make it a safe, practicable ride. It does not have to be within 2 or 3 feet of the curb or the edge of the road. It just has to be where it's the most practicable place for you to ride.
Yeah, I've heard bicyclists talk a little bit about that drivers might be kind of rude in terms of flicking the finger or you know, honking or yelling at a bicyclist, apparently because they think the bicyclist is too far into the road.
That's exactly correct. They think they're inhibiting their driving experience or their opportunity to get past a bicyclist, where, in essence, the bicyclist is a vehicle and has as much right to that lane. If it's a narrow lane, the bicycle can take over the whole lane, where it would take a passing zone or another opportunity for a motor vehicle to get by, and that makes a lot of a motorist unhappy.
No laws against flicking the bird, though.
Well, we won't touch that one.
Yeah. Marty in Beloit. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. My problem is I do a lot of walking on sidewalks, and I would say 80% of the time when a bicyclist passes me, I don't know it till they're by me. My attitude is they're almost as discourteous to me as car drivers are to people on bikes.
Yeah, it would probably be a good idea to say something like passing on your left or whatever it might be.
Exactly. The bicyclist should let the pedestrian know that they're coming by. The bicyclist should also slow down, and the pedestrian has basically the right of way there, and let the pedestrian know they're coming around the pedestrian. Because the bicyclists are basically given an advantage to ride on the sidewalk in some communities, but the pedestrian still should take priority there.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me too, Marty, where it can almost startle you when the bike is sometimes really clipping along really fast too, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily a law, but that's the courtesy, right, Larry Corsi?
Yes, they need to let you know that they're coming by. You know, they need to slow down for you and respect the pedestrian, just as you said, the motorist needs to work with the bicyclist. The bicyclists need to work with the pedestrians in that situation. And that's on shared-use paths also, not just on sidewalks.
Thanks, Marty, for the call. Let's see if we can get Wayne and Osseo in before news break. Hi, Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi. It's pretty cut and dry, I think. You're going to continue to have these problems no matter what kind of education you give people and tell people start having respect for each other. Well, that's what it boils down to. People don't have any respect for each other anymore.
Yeah, and you haven't run into any of these problems either on a bike or in your car.
I watch pretty tough for pedestrians on bikes or walking, because I try to give people respect, and I don't want to run anybody over. So I mean, yeah, I have had bicycles cut in front of me, things like that, but.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Wayne. We'll get our guest to react to your comments after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll continue to take more of your calls with your observations or your questions about bicycle car safety. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Thursday, July the 26th. We will talk in our next hour about the universal health care plan that's included in the Senate version of the state budget. We'll talk with a guest who is opposed to the universal health care plan. He is with a business group from Janesville. That's in our next hour. This hour, we're talking about bicycle motorist safety, with a guest who is the Pedestrian Bicycle Safety Program Manager with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, Larry Corsi. And we welcome your questions for him. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We wonder if you like to bike, if you bike a lot, and if you have a concern about what drivers or motorists do in terms of cutting you off or anything along those lines. Or maybe you're a motorist who witnesses bicyclists making some mistakes that could cost them their lives. We see that there have been about 1,100 car bicycle crashes last year in Wisconsin, and we're trying to figure out how we can reduce the number of car bike crashes. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. We heard from a caller, Wayne in Osseo, just before our news break, Larry Corsi, who just said this would all be resolved if we just showed a little bit of respect for each other, or more respect for each other. Is that what this is all about?
It's very true. What we need to do is, and he mentioned education will only go so far, and he is 100% correct. We need to educate, like I mentioned, bicyclists and motorists. We also can look at the engineering end of things to see, to make sure that the roads are designed correctly, to make it the safest for both the motorists and the bicyclists as they travel, and if all else fails, go to law enforcement as far as enforcing some of the laws that are out there. And some of the law enforcement officers aren't real familiar or up to date on what the pedestrian and bicycle law enforcement laws are, so they don't feel comfortable, you know, enforcing them. And we're working with law enforcement agencies to train them and teach them on what the biggest bicycle crashes are in the state of Wisconsin, and kind of encourage them to enforce them, and not only along with the enforcement, but educate both children and adults riding bikes where possible.
Yeah, most of these crashes occur in urban areas or rural areas?
Urban areas. The majority of your traffic as far as bicycles is in the urban areas.
Mm-hmm. And for those just joining us, are there just some general tips for first bicyclists when it comes to being as safe as possible on the roads?
Yeah, there are some general rules for riding a bicycle. First, you want to ride, as we mentioned, the question was asked, how far from the curb? You want to ride where it's practicable, where you don't have to look, you know, you're avoiding the debris in the curb area. So usually 3 to 4 feet off the curb somewhere in that area. Make sure you ride in the same direction as the traffic. Sidewalk riding for bicyclists is good for the learning stages, but it's also got some, you know, problems as you get older and even as a young bicyclist, is with people coming out of the driveways, things like that. So you want to be careful on the sidewalk. Make sure you're obeying all the traffic laws, similar to a vehicle. You're stopping at the stop signs. You're making your signals when you're turning, paying attention to where the vehicles are. Don't swerve when you're going down the road in and out of parked cars. Just stay in a straight line so people know where you're at and what you're doing. And be predictable. Make sure that they have a good idea of what you're going to be doing. And be careful yourself as far as watching out for motorists and, you know, paying extra attention to vehicles that are turning, and be ready to stop if need be.
And for motorists?
Motorists need to make sure that they give bicyclists at least 3 feet of clearance when they pass them. When they're turning left, make sure they're watching for oncoming bicyclists. That's one thing that, as we mentioned briefly earlier, is that they're looking at vehicles coming mm-hmm. at them before they can turn left. But make sure you're watching for bicyclists and pedestrians who have a walk signal going across the road, usually when you're turning left at a light or a crosswalk at other intersections. When they're turning right, make sure you yield to the bicyclist traveling on your right. Don't try to pass the bicyclist and then turn right at the next intersection right in front of them, basically cutting them off. And be aware of children riding bicycles. Children, as we mentioned, you know, they just don't remember things as long, and they think it's fun being out on a bike, and they'll come darting out of a driveway or a sidewalk or not stop for a stop sign, or maybe being riding down the wrong side of the road. So you want to keep an eye on some of those things also.
Back to the phones. Mike in Madison is with us now. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to see a lot more bike paths, where, and I think this would reduce the conflicts between motorists and bicycle paths, because you have you don't have them driving together. So far in the history, there's been way too much emphasis on highway development for cars, for motor vehicles, and not enough for non-motorized vehicles like bicycles. And I see this changing. Bicycling is becoming the mode of choice for a lot of people now, and the state needs to catch up and get more bike paths.
Mm-hmm. You want to comment, Larry Corson?
I would agree that the bicycling is becoming more popular, which is great to see, to get more people out on bicyclists, especially, you know, starting them at a younger age in children and get them going on a bicyclist. The state is involved with some bike paths, a lot of the bike paths that you're looking at, and being in the city of Madison, you're very fortunate because Madison does have a number of bike paths, is that the community themselves have been building the bike paths within the communities, and Madison has done an excellent job putting in bicycle paths and making sure that that ability is there, and we're working with other communities, encouraging them to do that, and I think the Safe Routes to School funding you see now may encourage a few more bike paths and ways of getting children to ride their bikes or walk to school also, but I think that's a great point.
Yeah, you can get in an accident on a bike on a path as well, though it doesn't have anything to do with the car. But I was on it was a rail trail somewhere in, it wasn't in Madison, but in the area, and I got a bug in my eye. I didn't have any kind of sunglasses on or anything like that, and I slammed on my brakes and I took a tumble and I couldn't get my foot out of my clip. And I guess a bicyclist probably should think about some basic safety stuff, like, and don't yell at me, I usually wear a helmet, but I didn't have a helmet on. Didn't have sunglasses on, and that's what happens when a bug goes in your eye.
Mm-hmm. And the crashes that you mentioned there, Joy, as far as being on a bicycle trail, anything that the 1,100 or just under 1,100 crashes you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, is that those were just bicycles and motor vehicles. Those do not include bicycle, pedestrian, bicycle tree. If it's not a bicycle motor vehicle, those don't get recorded in our system.
I see. Okay.
So there's a number of accidents and crashes and injuries that don't show up in our system that occur related to a bicycle but not with a motor vehicle.
And I certainly didn't report that one. Jay in Madison is with... Ooh, hi, Jay.
Hello, good morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a kitty in the background. I didn't know what that was. Okay.
A very loud kitty sometimes. I've got a comment, and I'd like to get Larry's thoughts on it, and then I've got a question. My comment is, you know, the bicycle is sometimes, you know, in some ways, doesn't get enough respect as a mode of transportation by our society. And I think one of the things that we could do to both emphasize how much respect it really deserves and also to increase kind of the level of skill by the bicyclists and by car drivers in dealing with bicyclists is to have like a biker's education class in junior high or high school. It's similar to driver's ed. You know, something like the League of American Bicyclists Effective Cycling Class, which I'm sure Larry knows about, which is really like a driver's ed for bikers. And I'd like to get Larry's idea about what it would take to implement something like that statewide, so that all people went through it when they were in school.
Hmm.
I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to be very hard with the school district budgets the way they are and how you would fit that into your Phi-Ed classes. We currently offer a Teaching Safe Bicycling course at 5 different communities, usually in April. And in the last year or two, we've encouraged more schools to get involved, after-school programs. And what that is basically it's a train-the-trainer course where we bring in people that are going to either teach bicycle rodeos, teach at school, teach after school children how to bicycle. And we spend one day with them, and in the afternoon we bring in 6 or 7 young adults or young children, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10 years old, and run them through a rodeo with the people, the participants, getting hands-on experience doing that. And we've been working with DPI, Public Instruction, trying to encourage them to get more teachers involved and get that more as an emphasis in their particular area, along with Safe Routes to School. And the Safe Routes to School coordinator and I have been working with a lot of the different schools also, trying to get them to teach bicycling within their Phi-Ed classes and within school. And I think that's a fabulous idea, that you can't get them any younger to teach them what you want them to do there.
I think that the fact that you emphasize that it would be something that's taught in Phi-Ed is kind of missing the point, in that it's really not about physical education, although that's an aspect of it. It's really more similar to biker or driver's ed, in which people need to know how to get around our city safely and conveniently by car. We value that. Well, we should value getting safely and conveniently around our cities just as much by bicycle as we do by car.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's not about wedging it into Phi-Ed class. It's really about giving equal treatment to biking in our schools as we give to driving.
Yeah.
So I think we need to really start thinking about it that way, instead of thinking about it as a physical education issue.
Yeah, and we have a weather break, and I know, Jay, you said you had another question. You can wait until after the weather break if you want, as we continue talking with Larry Corsi, Pedestrian Bicycle Safety Program Manager for the State Patrol Bureau of Transportation Safety at the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, talking about bicycle motorist safety. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll talk about the proposed universal health care plan for Wisconsin in our next hour with a guest who says it's the wrong prescription for the state. And then after 8 o'clock, I'll welcome in the president of the University of Wisconsin System and the president of the Board of Regents for the University of Wisconsin System, Kevin Riley and Mark Bradley, talking with you about the proposed cuts to the UW system. Talking about car bike safety this hour with Larry Corsi, who is with the Department of Transportation's Pedestrian Bicycle Safety Program. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a question about the rules of the road regarding cars and bikes. Jay in Madison was talking about how it might be a good idea to have bicycle education in the schools as we do driver's education, though a lot of schools are dropping things like driver's education. But let's not get into a debate over that, Jay. What about what was your question that you had?
Okay, my question is kind of tangential. I know that Larry deals with both bicycle and pedestrian issues, and those two issues are really tied together. And in Madison yesterday, I understand that there was some kind of a sting operation to enforce car safety in regards to pedestrians. And I could wonder if Larry could just tell us what he knows about that and how effective it was. And I'll take my comments off the air.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture here of an undercover or plainclothes police officer walking across Midvale Boulevard and a car approaching. He's in a crosswalk, the police officer, and the car just whizzes right in front of him, just barely missing him by a couple of feet. And the Madison police apparently did ticket six motorists, and they each got a $140 citation for apparently not yielding to pedestrians.
Yeah, they had a few vehicles actually just missed him during his stint down there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what that is they set it up for 2 hours and had him walk across as a pedestrian. And the way that's lined up is there's so many feet from the crosswalk with the speed limit. They'll look at the speed limit on the road and how many feet would it take a vehicle to stop. And so they'll put a cone out. And so as the officer goes across, he or she knows how far that vehicle is out, and they should have more than enough time to stop for them and yield the right of way, which is the state law. And then they had officers there to either warn them, depending on the seriousness of the situation, or write tickets. And they did write six tickets, and that has taken place in Madison in the past. And I think they're going to continue to do that just to educate people. It gets in the newspapers and enlightens people that feel they don't know that is a law that they need to yield the right of way. And they did it in Milwaukee here a summer or two ago also, and in 30 minutes wrote six tickets, and I got a couple of calls from radio stations wondering how they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a state law, and they need to yield the right of way to pedestrians.
Thanks, Jay. Chuck in Grafton, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my question is, one of the things that it has caused a lot of anger on my part is this practice of riding in packs on major roads. So I was wondering what the law is on how many people can ride abreast on a bicycle going down the road at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this came up a little bit in the first half hour, but lots of people joining us. So Larry Corsi?
Yes, they can ride two and three abreast. The key is they should not impede traffic. So riding as a pack, basically once they have vehicles behind them, they should line out and give the vehicles an opportunity to get past them. They should not be riding four, five, six across, taking up, the whole section of the road that they're on or the lane of the road that they're on.
Yeah.
But they can legally ride two abreast or three abreast and talk as long as they're not impeding traffic behind them.
Yeah, and you're finding, Chuck, that they're not getting over to the side of the road?
They're very rude about it, too. I mean, they're going down the road, and then there'll be two of them or there'll be three of them riding abreast, And yes, you can go around them if you pass on the yellow line, which you aren't supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they do that. And when you call up and ask the police to do something about it or different organizations, and you can get the club's names without any trouble whatsoever. And they just tend to have this elitist attitude that, hey, the roads don't belong just to cars. They belong to us, too. But we don't have to obey the laws. I mean, you speed, don't you? That's what the comments I get from them.
Yeah. Now, is it actually the law for a bicyclist that they should move over to the right if there is a car behind them that they might be impeding?
The law states that they should not impede traffic, So they need to share the road and wherever possible. And if it's a situation where the bicyclists can't get over for the motorists to get by, the bicyclist does have the right of way. Being a vehicle, and it may be going up a hill or in a bad section of the road where they have to take up that lane either singly or doubly. But if they're out there just to cause, to antagonize motorists, that's not good. Again, education and sharing the road, it needs to happen on both sides of it.
Yeah, thank
bring
you.
That respect back. Thanks
to Chuck. Here's an interesting email just on this topic. Justin in Antioch, Illinois, saying, I know a bicycle shouldn't impede traffic. However, riding two abreast can be a defensive technique. It forces cars to slow down and pass more safely. Otherwise, they pass at speeds over the speed limit and give a bicyclist very little passing room, essentially pushing them off the road. What do you think of that? Some may be doing it on purpose as a defensive technique.
Oh, I would say that's probably correct, and he's right. They can ride two abreast, and the motorist has to pass, as mentioned earlier, where it's a passing zone. And depending on the ability for the bicyclist to move over or not, if it's a situation where it's just not safe for them to move over, then they do have the right of way to stay out there and the legal ability to stay out there. And in Wisconsin, and I'm not sure what Illinois' law is, but the motorist by law has to give the bicyclist at least 3 feet of clearance when they pass a bicyclist.
Next we go to Laura in Madison. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have lived in Madison for many, many years, and I defer to bike traffic when I'm able. I have been a bicyclist myself, so I understand a lot of these questions that are coming up. But one thing that bothers me, I live along Park Street, which actually has bike lanes going both directions on it. And yet bikes choose to use the sidewalks instead of using the bike lanes themselves. And when I'm making a left turn off of Park Street, for example, and a bike is coming the wrong way down a sidewalk, I can watch for traffic, pedestrian traffic coming from behind me. I can watch for traffic coming in front of me. But a bike can appear out of nowhere and just zoom through the crosswalk. I'm so afraid I'm going to hit somebody. I'm just wondering, don't bikes, when they use the sidewalks, aren't they supposed to dismount at the corner and walk in the crosswalk? Are they allowed to ride through a crosswalk?
They can ride through a crosswalk, but in the situation where you're talking and you're making a left turn and they come from basically out of nowhere, they need to look at being on the sidewalk and also being yielding to the motorist also. Again, we need to, share the road and just think about where you're at and what's going on and not think that you're the one that's in charge of what's happening there.
Thank you, Laura. I've had that happen too. Sal in Stevens Point. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
The thing that really concerns me is visibility at night. There are laws about bicyclists that use the road have to have some sort of reflectors or something to make me visible, but I can't tell you the number of times, and I do ride a bike, the number of times that I've seen bikes, just suddenly appear, and, I get the sweats like your previous callers. It won't be my fault if I hit them, but I'm going to carry that the rest of my life. And here they are, and these are usually adults. They're not little kids.
Yeah.
That are riding without any kind of reflective clothing on, or the bike has no reflectors.
Yeah, what are the laws with that, Larry Corsi?
As far as riding a bike at night, you need to have a front headlight light that will shine out. It'll be seen at least 500 feet ahead of you, and reflectors on the backside of your bicycle. And you also mentioned clothing, so retroreflective clothing anytime you're riding, even if it's during the day. something that stands out and makes you more obvious to a motorist or to anybody else that's out there and can see you. But yes, by law, they do have to have a light on the front of the bike and at the minimum a red reflecting light on the back of their bicycle.
Yeah. Jan in Hills Corners. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I'm calling about potholes because even though I'm an experienced rider, one got to me recently due to traffic. I couldn't avoid it. And I'm wondering, how do we go about getting the potholes filled? You know, I bicycle a lot down Grange and down Forest Home, and I know different communities handle those streets and everything, and I've called a Department of Public Works, and is there, you know, like a time span that you can wait and, you know, do something after that if it doesn't get filled?
We only have a minute left in the program.
That's a very good question, and here in Madison, they contact the city of Madison or the county, depending on what location you're at, and let them know, and from there, it's up to them to decide, you know, how long it's going to take them to get it taken care of there.
I'm curious, if Bob in Mindoro thinks there should be a minimum age for bikers. There is no such thing in Wisconsin, is there?
No, there's no minimum age, no.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, that you know, we all were on our trike or our training wheels and all that, but you can even be on the road as a itty-bitty kid.
Yes, you can, and it all depends, you know, you've got to look at your parent or your role model as who's training you and teaching you, and that's another big thing is, be a good role model. Wear a helmet. Make sure you follow all the rules and regulations while you're teaching your child or another young adult how to ride a bicycle.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us. Larry Corsi is the Pedestrian Bicycle Safety Program Manager with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Thanks to Christina Taylor for producing this hour. Thank you for all your calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.